Hello everyone and welcome to the Constructive Criticism Network. This network is here to help you improve at Magic the Gathering at every level. From Pauper Leagues to Top 1000 Mythic, we've got you covered. If you want to hear the entire network, head on over to our sponsor at PureMTGO.com, where you can hear each and every show, each and every week, and check out their sponsor, MTGO Traders, and tell them that the CCMTG Network sent you. Now sit back, enjoy the show. From YouTube, podcasts, and more, here's this week's episode from ConstructiveCriticism.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Constructive Criticism. I'm your host, Mason, and I'm joined by Historic Master, Allison. Allison, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm drinking my coffee. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just woke up, and something that is unheard of happened today, Allie. They had a B&R announcement for Magic.
What's that?
Well, every now and again, only under extreme cases, will they ban and or restrict a card? And in Historic, they have a suspended list, which basically means they'll ban a card but not give us wild cards. And so today was one of those rare days. We don't get to do this episode a lot, Allie. I know you're newer to the podcast. It's a special treat to do the B&R episodes.
I've never done one of these before.
I know. I can tell in your voice how excited you are. I know you love Historic. I know you hate Field of the Dead. And I know you love to meme, so this has gotta be an all-timer for you.
I actually really like Field of the Dead. I'm very sad that it was, like, overpowered in every format.
Sure, that's fair. Yeah, I think the idea of Field of the Dead is cool. This turns out in practice or whatever, it's quite easy to do and fixes the problems those decks had in a way that I guess is hard to see before you play with it. Anyways, today we're going to talk about the band and Historic. It's always just a B&R, Allie. We lost last week's episode, so if you didn't notice, there wasn't an episode last week. We recorded an episode, we recorded about learning and different learning styles and progressing through Magic, and then we got done with it, and I went to work, and I came back to edit the podcast, and the podcast was gone from our computer, and I spent forever looking for it, and I couldn't find it, and so I know. And now we have somehow, Allie, we literally can't do an episode that's not about B&Rs or about, like, a tournament and get, like, a level up episode because they keep banning cards. It's so wild.
Yeah, I mean, I might have an unpopular opinion here, but I'm a fan of, like, aggressively banning and even unbanning things. I think it's, I don't know, I like the idea of trying things out and seeing what happens because you really just, like, don't know what happens unless you do it, so.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that's actually one of my bigger frustrations with Historic is that they have a suspended list to enable that, and they do not do it the way they said they would. You know? Like,
yeah.
I might be misremembering the original announcement. The original announcement was kind of like, we'll put cards on here, and if they seem fine, they'll come off. And they've only done that once, and that was the Field of the Dead on the first batch of cards, which I liked. I liked like that they were going to do that, and they were willing to take a risk on a card that was very strong. And at the time, it was fine in Historic. It was good, and it was, you know, powerful, but it wasn't busted. And now, it just kind of seems like the suspended list is a place to, like, it really feels like just deny wild cards with the way it's been. Like, I'm unsure why cards aren't put on the suspended list just to see what the format's like without them. You know, we're just going to be like, hey, we know there's a card coming in the next set that's going to help fix this problem or whatever, where we suspect, and we're going to suspend the card until then. And we're going to see if the format's healthier with or without it. And if it's healthier without it, then hopefully this card will allow us to find, like, a happy medium, right? Or, like, maybe there's a card in an anthology that's really good, you know, just that sort of thing. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Word. All right, well, we're gonna talk all about that. I think Allie and I have some differing opinions in this episode, which is interesting, Allie, because I think normally we're kind of like same page-ish, or at least, like, you know, we're like in the same chapter, you know. And I think today we're gonna differ, which is kind of exciting. It's a different paradigm for these episodes. But first, Allie, we need to turn off our alarm on our phone that just went off because we want to make sure we didn't sleep through this episode of Constructive Criticism. And then we need to talk about how we improved this week. So, Allie, How did you improve this week?
Oh, actually, this fits better in this week, is that I was admitting that Field of the Dead was...
I love it. Hit it.
Bad. yeah, I think something for improving doesn't always have to be, like, within the actual, like, gameplay, I think. I think just, like, theory and thinking about the health of a format is something that we can take into consideration when we're thinking about what is improvement. What does that look like? For a long time, obviously before the past couple of weeks, because I've been pretty vocal against Field of the Dead, I was just kind of like fine with Field of the Dead. I thought it was something not unhealthy or bad. Like, I thought it was powerful, but I thought it was fine for the format. And then I had a conversation with someone, and they just like brought a different argument to the table that I had never thought of, which was Field of the Dead kind of created this dynamic where mid-range and control decks could not exist in the format because you're literally just playing land drops to end the game. Like, there's not really a meaningful way that mid-range and control decks can really interact with an opponent just playing lands for turn and losing because of it. Because you're already trying to interact with their spells, you're already trying to interact with, like, their zombies that they end up making. So it's kind of just all a lot in general, and that was really brought to my attention when decks like Blue-White Auras became popular in Historic. This was, like, a while ago now, but I don't know, those decks just made me so angry. I'm like, how are we not beating these decks? And it's because there was, like, no good removal in the format because there were no mid-range decks. So, like, how many, like, eliminates or board wipes did you, like, really see? Or, like, Extinction Event, even. You didn't really see that outside of, I guess, the Field decks. Because, like, mid-range decks against Field, those cards are awful.
Yeah. Yeah, they're, like, stopgaps. They're not really answers. Well, yeah, I think that's a great moment. And I do think that, like, sometimes people get caught up in, like, gameplay and stuff like that. But, like, thinking about stuff and the theory about stuff is a huge part of Magic. And a huge part of, I think... And I think it's a huge part of improving. And... I think that not enough times that stuff is thought about or talked about verbally. I really like that always improving moment.
What's your always improving moment, Mason?
My always improving moment was a similar-ish thing of really looking at the card Bolas of Citadel and thinking about it some more. And it's funny, I think we'll talk about this more here. Because I think about what else they should like maybe take a look at it hitting. And I really do think, so I guess I'm halfway through a thought with this, and I should rewind it. So I was on Twitter, and I saw some conversations about we need to get rid of this stuff so we can get mid-range and control back in Historic. And it might actually, I think you were on the thread, I don't think it was your post, but you and Sidetrack were there and someone else was there. And I was reading, I was like, even if we ban Field of the Dead, I think Historic has a fundamental problem right now that I think will be solved in time of early interaction not being powerful. And I think one of the strengths of like the red-black deck we see in Historic is they do have powerful interaction in the early game. Like Innocent Blood, Claim the Firstborn, those sort of things are like removal spells that like actually answer the early stuff and do a pretty good job. And the late game stuff in Historic are kind of like Ugin, Uro, Krasis, and it hits two-thirds of those. And I got me thinking about like what would be the most powerful thing to do once Field of the Dead's gone. Or, like, maybe something else that needs to go with Field of the Dead to help make this sort of reality happen. And I was like, oh, it kind of has to be Bolas of Citadel. So I was kind of thinking things from the other light. Because before, I always kind of thought of Bolas of Citadel as, like, this card with this big payoff. But, like, it's kind of a lot of mana. And so your opponent can interact in the early game. And then I realized you can't really interact in the early game thanks to Field of the Dead, which makes Citadel stronger. Did that. And then I just started playing a bunch of Citadel because of that. And it was very, very strong. I have a lot of screenshots of turn 3 Citadel that I was sending to a friend who thought, you won't consistently turn 3 Citadel. And so I just sent a bunch of those. But yeah, long story short, it's funny, it's actually thinking about the format in like a different light. And I think that's going to come up more later in the show today. But yeah, kind of a similar vein. Also, my other always improving moment was Among Us. It was to get the double kill more and then run away from the bodies and not report it. So It's a 2-for-1 on the always improving.
My always improving on Among Us was to play on Mira and just jump in the vents all the time.
The vents are awesome. I had a thing last night where we double killed an admin, jumped in vents, hopped out at like the front of the ship and like walked around and double killed people walking towards admin to report the bodies, and we won. We just got 2 double kills. It was great.
The vents feel so much more meaningful on that map. I don't know. You actually get to like go further, which like maybe is broken, but like in the first map that we normally play in, it's like, oh, you pop an event to like hide, but you can't really pop out anywhere and like pretend you came from a different direction as easily.
Yeah, I agree with that a lot. So also Among Us podcast coming soon. It's called With Us. I don't know. That was a spitball. Not strong first name, but that's what they always call me. But if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/CCMTG, and you can ask questions for the show, much like this one. And this one is a little out there, so I'm going to try and boil it down, because last week we actually had some troubles trying to figure out a good way to talk about this. But when wanting to ask a question, what is like the best way to ask a question? And the patron asked this question, mentioned how normally they feel like vague or ethereal things were hyper specific were the only things that were helpful, and that like middle of the road questions they found not to get a lot out of. So Allie, what would be your advice on how to ask a question? You know, I think it was directed towards a podcast question like this segment, but it could be, you know, anything really.
Yeah, I think when we were first kind of thinking about this and discussing this question, I took it more as less of question formulation and just kind of, I don't know, addressing some like anxiety based around like, is this a stupid question? Is this too broad? Is this too narrow? Is anyone going to relate to this? And I mean, I think the answer is like, there's not really a stupid question. And if it is too broad, too narrow, you think it doesn't relate to anything, at least in the context of like me and Mason here on the podcast, we can kind of frame it in a way that applies broadly. If it is like pretty narrow, like we can address and answer your question, and then we can apply it to a bunch of other things because we're both really cool and creative people. Mm-hmm. And if it is too broad, maybe we really like your question and it's just a podcast episode then.
Yeah, right. Like sometimes we have saved questions in the past that we thought were good questions, but we kind of knew we wanted to do an episode about something like that in the future, right? Where questions have definitely, like Allie said, inspired episodes in the past, or inspire, you know, parts of an episode. So I think it's best just to ask the questions, just like Allie said, and like just put it out there, right? Like what the question might seem that way to you, but someone else might also feel that way and be a little too afraid to ask it or feel like it's too out there. In reality, it's helpful. Also, sometimes have you ever thought, dang, this is kind of weird? And then you like confide in a close friend and like, nah, like I got friends that do the same thing, or, you know, kind of feel the same way, right? Like, I feel like that's happened to me a lot of times in life. And so I feel like it's a very similar thing here. And so I don't have much to add. I think Allie kind of teed it up and knocked it out of the park on that one. That was a baseball reference.
What's baseball?
It's a thing that people used to do before the COVID, where they would buy $20 hot dogs and watch guys hit a ball, and then they would run to a base. But if they caught the ball, it went poorly. And if they hit them with the ball, it went really bad.
Have you seen the, you know how like they've been doing like the cutouts of season ticket holders to put in the stands?
Yes.
For baseball games. In Japan, I think it was, they have plushies.
That's
huge plushies, and it's so cute, and I'm jealous. I would watch baseball just for that.
Did you see the clip going around when the baseball season first started with like the people they were superimposing in the crowd? The layer was messed up, and so this guy like ran to catch a ball near where the crowd would be, and he was just inside the crowd. He like he like jumps into like the crowd or whatever. It's very cool. Funny. Yeah, I as along those lines, I watched a Smash tournament at the beginning of COVID. And it was supposed to be in person. And so they had the crew still at the location. And then they had just Smash plushies in the stands. and then they put pictures of like the competitors' faces because they were all, it was like an invitational type thing. They put their faces on the chair in like Mimi sense, and I thought it was like a good way to handle the whole like, you know, hey, these are wild times, or whatever. But instead of, you know, cutting to their face like before they fight, they're just on a chair and then, you know, they're making like a pog face or whatever. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, love it. two of my roommates are really into the Smash tournaments, and they've had a huge adjustment playing on Wi-Fi, and I just hear one of my roommates screaming every time Wi-Fi like screws them over.
Yeah, it's pretty huge. I saw your roommate tweet they play Ultimate, right?
It's like, I don't know, probably.
Word. Okay, they've got it rough out there. It's it's wild, actually, Allie. It's like a little side tangent here, but this coder went and took Melee, the GameCube version of Smash Brothers, and created a superior online experience called Rollback, which is basically it's just like almost no delay infinite fighting game online. And so now the GameCube Melee game has one of the best online fighting game systems of like any fighting game that's popular right now, which is like really weird, but it's like low-key illegal to like get to. It's really wild. Yeah, it's like weird. Like, you have a digital copy of the thing, but if you own a copy, you're like legally allowed to do it, but obviously not everyone does that, and it gets very gray. But basically, Melee's online fighting system is like S tier right now, and like the new Ultimate one is like pretty bad. So it's a weird case of events. Anyways, let's just hop into it. So unlike the last couple episodes, we don't have a whole lot of bans or restricted things to talk about. It's just Field of the Dead banned. I actually haven't seen it. Allie just messaged me. Is it banned or suspended? Because they suspended it before and it came off, so I'm curious if they do it again.
Oh, it's banned.
Nice. We're going to get our wild cards. Here's my next question. I'm asking on air. Is it updated today or Thursday?
It's updated today.
Let's go.
Maintenance is going on in 27 minutes from this exact moment that we were recording.
Nice. I had a bad feeling that it was going to be Thursday, but I guess the outcry was so bad the last two times that they have just decided to bite the bullet on that. Well, that's good. Yeah.
I definitely enjoy that they made the announcement. Like, I still don't like announcing announcements or whatever, but I do like that they changed it. I think it was like Friday.
Yeah.
That they were like, okay, on Monday, it's good. Like, as far as announcement goes, I think like waiting a weekend, maybe that's fine.
But yeah, it's a much happier.
The actual implementation is so much more important to me than the announcements issues right now. So, if they're announcing and implementing it today, I'm just gonna be happy with that.
Yeah, it's weird for me because I was supposed to play like a historic event on Sunday and it got canceled because of this, and they canceled it like late in the night before because I think signups basically were low or whatever. But like my event got canceled because of this. Like, I didn't get to do a thing I wanted to do, which was weird. And I think, like, if it was just surprise announced, you know, there's just no way that the event would have been canceled. So,
yeah.
An awkward moment to be in, but, you know, we're trying to figure all this out. It's a new world, new age. And I definitely think it's way better than it being Monday and historic just being, like, a dead format that whole week. Like, I don't know. Like, what if people have done out? Would they have played, like, no ban list standard on Arena? Like, how would they have made content? I just have no idea.
That was fun.
Well, Field of the Dead, it's banned, and it's interesting. I don't think we have a whole lot to say on actual Field of the Dead being banned, except that I think we both agree, kind of like Allie said at the beginning of the episode, with her always improving moment. And I am glad they answered Field of the Dead and not Hour of Promise, because I was really scared they were going to be like, well, Field was fine-ish before Hour of the Promise put it over the line, you know. But luckily, yeah, it's gone. It's out of here. Do you have any thoughts on Field of the Dead besides what I said?
No, not really. I think we've already touched on it, like, earlier in the episode, is that I think it was mostly just keeping down, like, mid-range and control decks, so.
Big agree. Well, Allie, this is the exciting part of the episode. So you believe, in your heart of hearts, that mid-range and control is now playable, correct?
I think at least control is. I hope mid-range is, because that's fun, but.
Sure. I believe that I could see a world where control is playable if the types of, like, the generic decks that pop up are ones that it can interact with pretty well. I am skeptical that mid-range can actually exist right now in Historic. And I think the main reason for that is the interaction that exists, for the most part, does not allow for a typical mid-range deck to be the one. And so I think you have to be an aggressive mid-range deck in the vein of like a deck that plays Claim the Firstborn to effect, like a sacrifice type deck. Because I just think the early interaction is not there. Like, you don't have that fatal push or that bolt to, like, you know, answer their powerful two or three drop and then, like, bridge to, like, your powerful Planeswalker or Scare of God type thing. And it makes me sad. I think that, like, Field of the Dead really suppressed these decks. But, like, Godfarer's Gift, Gate to the Afterlife, those two cards together, I should say, and then Boss's Citadel. I think those are, like, two cards that are really, really powerful now in Historic. And I'm curious to see what you think about those two specific things.
Ooh, I'd love to try out a God Pharaoh's Gift deck. That sounds exciting. I feel like just with Bolas the Citadel, I've never been super impressed with it.
Oh, like, interesting. It's
fine. Like, I don't know. It feels like one of those that's like has enough hate cards to stop it. I think a lot of people are going to be switching to blue-white control. I think that's where I'm going to start, too, is blue-white control. Because I do think a lot of people are going to play Bolas the Citadel. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that just kind of is a really bad matchup for Bolas's Citadel, because it has all of the like creature removal, so you can't even get ahead like that way. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of hold your counter spells for Bolas's Citadel, because I get the dies to Doomblade thing, just counter Bolas's Citadel. But when you add that with also just being a good matchup for blue-white control via creature control and whatnot, I think it's a better argument.
Yeah. I hope you know I was just memeing when I tweeted that.
Okay. Well, no, I was about to, like, when I sent you the message, I was about to respond, like, I know this is a Dice to Doomblade argument.
I really wanted to tweet that Allie just told me it gets censored, but that's not what you said, and I thought that was too far from it, and Dice to Doomblade was already kind of a stretch, but I actually think it's funny, since I think it's quite good against Citadel, because it plays on curve so much. But either way, yeah, I agree that Citadel specifically, and like, I think this is an interesting point to notice about Citadel, is that Citadel has a lot of archetypes right now, or a lot of color pairs with it right now, right? Like, there's Abzan, Black Green, and Jund, that's like the main three, and then Crokies has been championing this weirdo mono black version. So there's like a bunch of different black builds of Citadel. When I'm talking about Citadel, I've been specifically meaning black-green. Which version have you been meaning before we go forward? Did you just mean, like, in general? Like, you just don't think it matters?
I mean, like, I think it's... I don't know. I was just, like, never super impressed with it. Granted, I never did get to dive too deeply into the collected company versions. I was impressed with the Abzan version, so maybe that can stick around. But yeah. I still just feel like it's stoppable, if that makes sense. Whereas, like, I mean, granted, we had to, like, compare it to, obviously, broken things, where, like, Field was pretty unstoppable for a lot of decks. I played Massacre Worm in the main board of an Esper deck, because there was literally just, like, nothing you can do to beat Field.
Yeah, that's fair. I have been very impressed with Bolas's Citadel. I have only played it with Coco. What I found is that in matchups where I need to go fast, my deck of like 13 mana dorks and Citadel really went fast, and I could very easily move through my deck. And then I found that in matchups where my opponent has permission and stuff, it's very easy to flood the board and then play the Citadel the moment that they like expose themselves to being tapped out or whatever. And that a big part of all of this is Collected Company being a card that like gets multiple pieces at once and like digs you for your Blood Artist and your Woestriders, which allow you to like really move through your deck. So it's interesting. I don't know. I definitely think it's going to be worse, because I think you can play a more removal spell, so you get less like, quote unquote free wins when your opponent's just trying to like goldfish you, right? And you're like a really consistent goldfish. But I do think Bolas the Citadel is messed up, and I think it's kind of evident from Pioneer as well. Like, I will not be surprised if Citadel is banned in the next 6 months. Like, I would put it like that. Just like,
I don't know. I think I don't have a problem with someone just, like, winning the game on turn 5 or 6. Like,
it's, like, turn 3 or 4, though.
It's, like, not really, though. Like, you can, like, get it down as early as turn 4, but you normally don't win until turn 5 or 6.
Yeah, maybe I've just been on the higher side of...
That's right. Like, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I could be wrong, too. I don't have, like, hundreds
just,
of games.
It just seems to me like a lot of the outrage is just, like, once again, people hating combo decks, where it feels like if you want to cast a 6-mana artifact, then, like, you can go ahead and do that. I hate the idea that we always have to ban the combo deck.
I don't think that it is. My opinion isn't that, because, like, I don't normally super strongly feel that way. I normally find combo, like, I play a lot of combo decks too. I just think that once you have Citadel, it is just, like, you kind of find the other pieces naturally, right? And so it becomes a one card combo, and the combo also sometimes is just cheat a bunch of mana worth of cards on the board and invalidate everything your opponent's done. Like, I've played a lot of games, and mind you, I only have like 30 or 40 games, so I have a very small sample size, right? Like, it's not a lot. But I've played a lot of games where my opponent got me low, like the near single digits, like 11-ish life total. I've played the Citadel with like an elf or something on the board before that, and then ended the turn with like a low-key, like, thick wall of things to block and absorb damage, and then, like, be able to go off on the next turn because the deck has so many drain effects for when something dies. And, like, the drain effects, like, help move through the deck as well. And so it's... I have found it... To me, it's funny when I play it, because I, like, play it and then the game ends, right? Like I play that card and then I play the top cards of my deck and my opponent basically has no chance unless they have some sort of insane swing card, like Massacre Worm. But sometimes that's not even enough. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, they need something really big. And I feel like for my opponents, there's got to be this form of frustration where, like, kind of like, what was it called? There was a deck that just won on the spot. Like, you would do all this work and then they would, like, oh, Luka. Right, like, you do all this work, and then they would just, like, Luka Yori on you with fires, and then, like, take your whole board, and everything you did just didn't matter. It feels that sort of way with Citadel to me, and I don't know. I want to talk about more things than just Citadel, by the way. I have a big beef with Citadel right now. I think that card is actually just terrible, but it's just so strong, too. I don't know. We'll see. I totally can believe that control decks can hate Citadel out. I am hesitant to believe mid-range decks in the way that we traditionally think of mid-range decks and historic will be able to beat the Citadel decks. But I totally buy, like, the, you know, you wrath the little elves, and then you counter the Citadel and you pass the turn. You know, you take up your Teferi. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, maybe mid-range struggles against that, but if, like, control and aggro can beat it, that might just be, like, fine, right? There'd be, like, a square format, because now could be, like...
Yeah, two sides of the square attack the other side, and then, like, you have one. Yeah.
Combo, aggro, control, mid-range. Ramp, I guess, probably does... Actually, I don't know. I have no idea. It depends how interactive the ramp deck is, but you know what I mean.
I guess, yeah, I was going to say, we touched a bit on Gate to the Godfarer's Gift. I think that archetype is still underexplored. Emry plus Gate to the Afterlife is a combo alley. I don't know if you've got to do that before, but crack your gate, buy it back, crack it again. Maybe even just on, like, the next turn cycle while you got a gift in play is pretty strong. But I do want to talk about ramp decks a little bit, because before, ramp decks in Historic had this, like, built-in, I want to say stopgap or, like, engine in the way of Field of the Dead, right? And just every ramp deck was a Field of the Dead deck. And now it's not possible to do that. And what do you think happens to ramp? Because they have a lot of, like, we've seen they have a lot of really powerful tools and pieces, and feel that just kind of made it so they didn't have to really worry about the early game. What do you think happens now that, you know, that's gone?
I guess I could see you going back to, like, so what, you struggle against, like, aggro now because you don't have zombies as blockers, so maybe going back to, like, a Bant version where you can play Wrath of God now and your end game is just Ugin.
Allie, can I play Teferi too, like, in Standard? Can I play Bant Sun? Can I play Bant Sun, Allie?
What?
What? Can I play Sun? Can I?
Yeah, I mean, that's a way to gain life too.
Okay. Allison told me I can play Interaction again in my ramp deck. It's exciting. Yeah, I'm curious what, like, the thing that we'll do to bridges. Because the thing that I always found playing a lot of ramp, and playing a lot of Field of Dead decks too, especially at the beginning of Pioneer, was that it was very hard to get to Ugin if you didn't have a Field of the Dead draw, and that's why Hour of Promise and Golos was so important. It was to make sure your Field of the Dead got on the board to trigger, and to, like, buy that one turn to get to Ugin. And a lot of times you, like, stabilize at, like, 5, right? And then it's kind of like, well, it doesn't matter at this point, I got to Ugin. But, you know, I needed those zombies for that one turn. I wonder if there's maybe a ramp payoff that's a little lower CMC than maybe you play. Yeah, I guess you can just get Uro if you have a lot of, like, Uro Spiral Explores, Fable Passages. Yeah.
Could even go, like, just, like, extremely turbo and do, like, Cultivate as well.
Oh, you could play Cavalier with all of this, too.
Yeah.
And then Cavalier would be the stopgap and the Uro Fuel and the Uro Finder. And then it would still work you towards Ugin during all of that. And it's, like, you know, a pretty reasonable card, too. Like, in the late game. Yeah, maybe you're supposed to play something more like that, like one of those decks. That's pretty interesting. Those also seem way easier to beat, you know, while still having this powerful late game. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm just so over Uro.
Yeah, do you think Uro is gonna stay around, or are you gonna be looking respectfully at Uro for a while?
Just definitely seems like one of those cards, like, kind of Growth Spiral too. Growth Spiral was like intro to Uro or whatever, but mm-hmm. It just seems like what the colors do, or, like, this has been true for a while, but it feels like just, like, that has fundamentally changed, and the games of Magic have fundamentally changed to have green spells also being cantrips, and that, I think, has caused problems in, like, what formats look like recently. It's just, like, everything kinda has to be a ramp deck, or something that can beat a ramp deck, mm-hmm. which is hard, because, like, all these ramp decks look completely different, and you almost just, like, don't really realize it. But then you see, like, everything's playing Uro, everything's playing Growth Spiral, everything's playing Explore, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. It's funny. Before Field of Dead was banned, I wanted to play that historic tournament, and I kind of wanted a deck that wasn't Field of the Dead so I could maybe make YouTube content out of it before we knew about the bans, right? And so I thought about maybe playing Field of the Dead banned control, where I would just play control, but I would have Uro, Growth Spiral, Field of the Dead, and then lands to enable that as, like, a cool little thing. And I wonder if you're just supposed to play Uro in your control decks, now that we're kind of talking, you know? Like, I wonder if that card is that good in historic. I think it needs a lot of cards that go to the graveyard to enable it, and that's part of the power of the Explore, Growth Spiral package. Control decks are pretty good at that, because they, you know, they one for one a bunch. And so I'm curious. I don't know. I think that card in formats where it's very easy to bring it back, and whether that's fetch lands or whatever, you know, it's really, really, really strong. And in most of those formats, we have removal spells that can answer it. But we have this same problem that I think we have for what's going to allow Citadel to be really good, where our early interaction is really, really bad. And so the trick, I think, is that Uro dies to a lot of that early interaction. So I don't know. It's weird. I think Uro is probably... I think Uro should probably be suspended, and we just see what historic looks like without it, if it's still a problem in 2 weeks, and then we adjust from there, you know? Like, if we're going to have aggressive uses of a ban list, let's, like, aggressively suspend cards and just see what happens, you know? And see if, like, enjoyment level goes up. Like, run polls and stuff like that. Like, we're just... Also tell us it's going to... Like, tell us how long it's going to be suspended for. Like, we're going to suspend it for 1 month. At the end of this month, we're going to, you know, readjust, and we'll make an announcement if it's banned or unbanned, you know?
I'm, like, mildly annoyed that the suspension list hasn't been used for what seemed like its intended purpose, was to kind of do what you're saying, is just be, like, a little more aggressive and just, like, hey, this card's, like, really popular. It might be suppressing other cards. Let's see what happens if we suspend it.
Yeah, it's very, very frustrating with the things stated that way, because I also get where they're coming from, where you don't want to, like, suspend people's cards. Like, maybe they just built that deck, right? And then, like, they won't be able to play the format or whatever. I introduced that. Like, they're smart enough to think that far ahead. You know what I mean? So it's a very frustrating position to be in. Either way, a little topic there. The last thing I think we should talk about, you mentioned earlier, is aggro decks. Allie, they got a lot of really good cards from Mom and Cat. We kind of mentioned that before. I think Soulscarve Mage has proven to be, you know, nice enabling Wizard's Lightning and just being another good one drop in the deck. What do you think about Mono Red to kind of wrap up our thoughts here on what Historic is going to be like? Well, not just Mono Red, but aggressive decks in general.
Mono Red is probably just, like, the best there, right? Like, Soulscarve Mage and Hazoret were pretty good additions. Honestly, just, like, however you want to build the red deck. I think every version of red deck has Soulscarve Mage, but, like, you can go super wizardy and do, like, Wizard's Lightning and Skewer the Critics then.
You can play Frenzy, too.
You can play Frenzy, you can kind of go back to the red deck that got banned with Hazoret and Earthshakers and Oncrop Crasher. You can kind of just do what you want with the red deck, and I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's super powerful, too.
Yeah, I think Mono Red, and I really want to try Mono Green. I think Mono Green's really close in Historic. I know I've, like, alluded to
this. Gemraiser?
Allie, please not in public like that. I think Mono Green has a lot of really strong stuff. Like, Pelt Collector draws and Elf draws both speed you up in different ways and work with the deck. And so before you kind of had this weird thing where some of your cards were insanely good against Field of the Dead, right? Like Steelleaf Champion and Questing Beast, you're like, oh yeah, nice zombies, idiot, and you kill them, right? And then your other half of your draws were like, oh no, I can literally never win. And now that that's gone, Steelleaf and Questing Beasts are still just kind of like really strong cards. So I'm excited. I'm excited to Smork Alley. I'm just going to, you know, cast my one drop, cast my two drop, put a Gym Daddy on one and just attack, you know, just the way Garfield intended.
I'm so not a fan of Mono Green. I don't know why. Green's like my most played color too. And it's just like, I don't know.
Alley, become one of the Smork.
I don't know about that.
Smork, Smork, Smork. One drop, two drop, three drop game. I wasn't this way either before quarantine. I wouldn't play Mono Red. I wouldn't play Mono Green. I didn't vibe with them. And then quarantine changed me, Allie. Changed me forever.
Well, I love Mono Red, so I'll keep playing Mono Red.
All right. I think that's going to kind of do it on this episode. A lot of things get opened up with the Field of the Dead band. We get a really exciting, interesting Historic. We have the Historic Invitational in 2 weeks, Allie? Yes?
Yes. That's why I thought this should have been banned last week. I think this is cutting it a little close.
Yeah.
Better late than never, I guess?
Yes.
I guess better have a better Invitational than, like, suffer through that. They get, like, no viewership.
Yeah, I agree. It's almost as if, like, maybe you're unsure if Field of the Dead should be banned or not, because you can't tell if people are overreacting to Hour of Promise. And you could, like, put the card on a list, Allie, and then you would wait a period of time and evaluate if the format's better or not before you decide if you want to finally ban it. And you could have done that last week and then just figured it out around the time of the end of your Invitational. That's weird. What would you call that list? Like, the put-aside-y list?
I mean, you could probably also just suspend it again and then just say, we're suspending this literally for the Mythic Invitational. We'll see if it's a problem after.
Yeah, I legit think that would have been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure people would be mad, but people are always mad, so.
I'm sure people are mad about the Field of the Dead ban. I am positive we're going to get all. Actually, you know what, Allie? If we see one, the first one we see, we should tag each other in it. Or at least direct message each other the tweet. Because I am positive we're going to log on the website and someone's going to be like, Field of the Dead didn't deserve it. I'm just going to be done for the day. It's going to be an early day for me, but
nothing wrong.
Yeah, Field of the Dead was fine. It enabled a lot of different archetypes. There was 5-color ramp, 4-color ramp, 3-color ramp, 2-color ramp, monocolored ramp, jambalaya ramp, salad ramp, Forrest Gump ramp. I don't know if people will get this reference ramp. And, like, it just enabled a lot of different ramp decks. And so, I don't know. Whatever. I'm off it. Allie, if someone wants to find you, where can they go?
Could go to Twitter @MythicMebo or twitch.tv/Mythic_Mebo.
You can find me at twitch.tv/TheMasonClark and on the website twitter.com/MasonEClark. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next week for another episode of Constructive Criticism. That, there's just no chance it's about BNR again, right, Allie? There's just no chance, right?
Maybe. Maybe one day.
Maybe it'll be modern next week. I've heard things. Did you know, by the way, before we go, Pioneer's dominated by Wilderness Reclamation?
Really?
It's basically the deck like Utah paid the Pro Tour with, was better interaction. And it's like the best thing to do in Pioneer now. It like crushed both weekend tournaments. One of our listeners, Henry, won the challenge. You rock, Henry. All right, deuces.